but if you do, you spend a lot of time in the news. But I don't know if you caught it or not, but there was a meeting in Jackson Hole, Wyoming over the last few days, and the participants were the leading bankers of the world. Bank of Japan, big bank from Europe, Federal Reserve from this country. And basically what I got out of the news report was these guys or gals or whomever were kind of throwing their hands up there and saying, we don't know. We don't have any answers and we need help. Folks, when the bankers need help, it may be a tough time. But I want to assure you today, as bleak as it may look out there on the horizon, they tell me that Europe, maybe 10 years, and folks, we're talking about the oldest, some of the oldest civilizations in the world teetering there. We all know about the stuff in the Middle East, etc., etc. When you start to be tempted to fear, know that God has a plan. And we're going to look at that this morning, that idea, okay? God's plan, and, well, actually, the plan to kill Jesus. So turn over to the book of John with me, chapter 18. I feel a little bit abandoned today because Dwayne Banner's Sunday school class, who started John before we did here, finished today, you said. How long? 4 years, 8 months, and 2 weeks. So we're not going for a record or anything like that, but at our pace, we may get you, okay? All right. Where are you going next? Okay, all right. Okay, outstanding. And I'll let you know in about 2 or 3 years where we're going when we finish, John, okay? All right. So let's read in verse 28, John chapter 18, the plan to kill Jesus. Then they would be the Jews here, the high officials, then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. This would be Friday, early morning on Friday, early morning on Friday. They themselves, the ones who brought him, Caiaphas was with them, I don't know. They are the leaders, Jewish leaders, the Sanhedrin, etc., okay? They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled. Because if they entered the governor's headquarters, they would be defiled, and then they couldn't eat the Passover meal. And this is Passover time, as you know. So Pilate went outside to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man being Jesus? And they answered him, if this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you. Pilate said to them, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. The Jews said to him, it's not lawful for us to put anyone to death. This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. Just like Jesus, the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, have a plan for today. As bleak as it may look on our horizons, he had a plan at this time too. So we're going to look today at the plan to kill Jesus. First of all, I want us to look at the plan to kill Jesus. I want us to look at the profound but pathetic efforts of the Jews to kill Jesus. And then finally, what's your plan? What's your plan? So the plans. Actually, there are three plans. They are intertwined. They are about the same outcome. But there are three plans in play here. The first plan was the Jews. The Jews had a plan to kill Jesus. Their plan was to eliminate the threat to their religious system. They had a good thing going. They are making a lot of money. They are big deals. They are people of significance. Everybody is coming to them. They control the sacrifice, which means that if you send, then there was a sacrifice, and these leaders controlled that. The high priest, the priest of the temple, etc. So their plan was to eliminate the threat that emerged, Jesus, that was sending strong signals that their plan wasn't the plan. And that he came to fulfill the law. They can't have that. They need the law. Because that's what's driving everything that they do. And so they need to get rid of Jesus. So they had a plan to kill Jesus, to eliminate him as a threat to their religious system. Then Satan had a plan. It was Satan's plan to eliminate the threat that was brought about to him, whereby he could not be like God. Because if he can kill God the Son, he's already tempted him in the wilderness, remember? And he's on several occasions tried to snuff out his life in different ways. But it's his plan to eliminate the threat, Jesus, of his desire to be like God. If he can kill the Son of God, he can hurt God badly. And he wanted to. Because he wanted to be like the Most High. So the Jews had a plan. Satan had a plan. God has a plan to kill Jesus. That sounds a little bit coarse today, doesn't it? A little bit offensive. But he did. He had a plan to sacrifice his only begotten Son for the sins of the world. You see, God was going to eliminate the threat of sin by sacrificing his Son for the sins of the world. And he's going to restore relationship and fellowship with those that he created in his likeness and after his image. After his image and in his likeness. For those who would believe. That's what God's plan is. So there are three plans in play, all of which have the same outcome, and that will be the death of Jesus. So let's look now at the plan's plan. How are they going to carry this out? Satan's plan was to use Judas to betray Jesus to the Jews, who would then execute Jesus. That's his plan. And if you'll remember at the Passover meal in the upper room, what does the scripture say? And Satan entered into him, him being Judas. And Judas got up, left that gathering, and went out and betrayed Jesus. That was Satan's plan. He cannot take Jesus on by himself. He's tried to tempt him. He is a conniver, a trickster, okay? He knows he's not powerful because there was a war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought against the devil and his angels, who was Lucifer, and they were cast out. He's 0-1. And so he knows he cannot take the Son of God on directly, but he can come up with a plan, and his plan was to use Judas to betray Jesus to the Jews, who would then execute Jesus. So that's Satan's plan to kill Jesus. The Jews' plan to kill Jesus would be to convince the Romans to execute Jesus. You see, they could, but they can't. And so their plan was to convince the Romans to execute Jesus. They had no way to implement their form of capital punishment, which by and large was stoning. There were some others, but stoning was the way that they killed people when by their law they could, all right? In fact, if they could stone a person, and stoning is exactly what it sounds like, you know that as I do, people picked up rocks, a lot of rocks in that part of the world, and they threw them at the person that was being executed until that person died. And they didn't toss them over there underhanded. They brought it, okay? And that person would die by being pummeled by stones. All right, that's their means of execution. And if you were stoned, it was because you broke the law by blaspheming God, by committing idolatry, by desecrating the Sabbath, by offering human sacrifices, occultism, homosexual acts, adultery, fornication, polytheism, worshiping more than one God, infant sacrifice, cursing God, or rebellion against parents. All of those were the offenses committed by a person, and if they committed those, they could be stoned for that. You kids set up really sharp there, I noticed there at that last one, okay? All right. That's not going to work. Okay? Jesus didn't do any of these things. The Jews can't kill him. Because of all of the things that they had in the law that said if a person does this, they're to be stoned, Jesus didn't do any of these things. So the Jews have to find a surrogate person or group to kill Jesus because they can't do it because he hasn't violated the law that would allow them to stone Jesus. The Romans. They had a form of capital punishment called crucifixion. They had others, but crucifixion was one of the main ones. And crucifixion that we'll look at much more in detail at another time was literally where the criminal was nailed to a cross. You're very familiar with this. And then that person was elevated from the earth and hung between heaven and earth until they died. And typically they would die of dehydration or heart failure. The blood would pool in the lower extremities. The heart would pump hard to pump the blood from the lower extremities. And before long, the heart would just give out and couldn't do it, and the person would die. That was the Roman form of execution. And they did it so that no one would ever think about causing problems in the Roman Empire. We get a little taste of that today with what's going on in the Middle East, with the horrible, just unbelievable treatment of ISIS to people and their graphic description and putting it out on the airways and that kind of thing. And what they're trying to do is strike terror in all the people that they may come into contact with so the people won't even resist them. Well, the Romans did something like that through this thing of crucifixion so that when you walked by, and it would take days, sometimes weeks, to die out there, and people would see that person on the cross suffering, they would not even think once about causing problems for the Roman government. They had a vast empire. They had to keep peace. And so they struck terror in the hearts and minds of the people as people would observe this thing of crucifixion. So that's their means of capital punishment. Do you see the plan unfolding, folks? The Jews can't, the Romans will and can. And so what's going to happen next is that the Jews are going to convince the Romans to crucify Jesus. That's their plan to kill Jesus. Oh yes, God has a plan to sacrifice his son. God's plan was that his son would die, according to Scripture, by being raised up, not stoned. Do you see how he just slammed the door? Jesus can't be stoned because his word didn't say that. Rather, his word said, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And Jesus, in being crucified, is suspended between heaven and earth, nailed to a cross, linking the grace of God with the sin of man. And therefore, the grace of God can flow to the sin of man, which is the cure, the ultimate cure for sin, because of Jesus who hangs between. Do you see the beauty of that? Do you see the plan? Would God raise up the Roman Empire and inspire them to create a form of capital punishment called crucifixion in order to offer His Son as a sacrifice for the sin of the world? Yes, He would. And yes, He did. You see, what looked like chaos, the Jews are trying to kill Jesus, Satan's trying to kill Jesus, that's all about is that ultimate plan of redemption that God is weaving through the events of history and specific people raised up at a specific time. Don't be afraid of the bankers in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and what they don't know and what they need. Don't be afraid of what's going on in the Middle East. God had a plan to pay for your sins by the death of His Son on the cross, an intricate plan, a plan that He brought forth in the fullness of time. He has a plan today as well. I pray this morning that you are in the ark, because He had a plan for Noah too, didn't He? Okay? I pray this morning that you are safe in the ark of Jesus Christ, because the rain is going to come. Brother, a lot worse than it was in Kansas City. Okay? All right? I'm talking about the rain of evil and wickedness and God's wrath being poured out on this world. You need to be in the ark. You need to be in the ark. And that ark is Jesus Christ. Don't ignore the Old Testament. Don't ignore the Old Testament. It's types and shadows of what's going on in the New Testament. And Jesus Christ became that sacrifice. And so God's plan to sacrifice His Son actually is weaved through these plans of Satan and the Jews. I want us to look now at, kind of walk through this, what I call the profound, because it was so profoundly organized by God, but so pathetic as the Jews bring about their effort to kill Jesus. So Jesus was arrested and bound in the garden. We spent a week or so there, if you remember. A band of soldiers, a band of Roman soldiers, a cohort, a captain, okay? A cohort was several hundred. There weren't that many probably, but there was a part of a cohort. And they went out with the officers of the chief priests, the Jews, to the garden to find Jesus. Judas was with them, and they arrested Jesus, and they bound Him. And they bound Him, and He was taken to Annas, who was the former high priest. He's not the high priest on the night that Jesus was there, because the Romans had become jealous of Him because He was gaining such popularity among the people. They put their man into the high priest role, and his name is Caiaphas, which happens to be Annas' son-in-law. But the people looked at Annas still as the guy to go to. And so Jesus is taken to Annas first of all, and Annas, you remember last week, questioned Jesus about His disciples and about what He was teaching. And then Annas sent Him to Caiaphas, who is the high priest legally that year. And he's the current high priest, the son-in-law of Annas. And he's the first one to mention that one man should die for the people. Didn't have a clue one what he's talking about. Okay? Didn't have a clue one. Maybe he was talking about it means to protect the people. I don't know. But in reality, he was simply a tool to communicate God's plan for humanity, that one man would die for the sins of the people. Jesus next is led to Caiaphas' house, led from Caiaphas' house to the governor's headquarters, which is Pilate. Pilate is the fifth procurator, the governmental representative of the Romans. Headquarters is in Rome, okay? And all these outlying areas, an intricate web of governmental oversight. And Pilate is the guy that's in charge of this particular part of the Roman Empire. Basically Judea, okay, for our purposes. He had that role from A.D. 26 to A.D. 36. That's the length of his term of office. So he is in office when Jesus is arrested in the garden, and he knew about that, no doubt. His main goal is to keep peace. Can't have any problems. I mean, folks, we're talking about an empire that goes all the way to Great Britain, all the way to the Atlantic Ocean, what's called Gaul, Spain, for our purposes, all around northern Africa, back into Iran and current-day Iraq. Vast empire. Vast empire. And so all these people, they didn't have any way to get there except by foot or by maybe horse-drawn, ox-drawn cart. They had to make sure that there's no problems in the empire. And so Pilate's main goal is to keep the peace. No problems. No rioting, no insurrection. But Judea is a troublesome place. The Jews are chafing under the control of Rome. And it's always a hot spot. And so Pilate is really under the gun. In fact, it gets so bad that in a few years from now, 70 AD, the Romans are going to say, forget this. They're going to come in with all the big guns that they need, and they're going to literally turn Jerusalem into a salt-sowed field, not a building standing, the temple, not one stone laying upon another. Jesus told them it was going to happen in Matthew 24, and it did. They just got rid of the problem once and for all, and the Jews are just dispersed throughout the world. But guess what they had when they left? Gospel. You see God's plan? Huh? The Jews that once were converted, they're having a great time. Maybe 100,000 people who were Jews believed on the gospel, believed on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many of them had watched it, had seen it. They're having a good time. Let's just hang out together and we're just going to have... Great! And then the Romans came in and they were dispersed from throughout the world, and with them was the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And eventually they're going to take it to the Gentiles. No amens over that? If the Jews would have stayed in Jerusalem and never left, folks, we'd be hurting. But God had a plan, didn't he? And the gospel was taken to the Gentiles through Paul and others. Well, I digress, okay? So Pilate has to keep the peace. He can't let things get out of hand. So he did his duty. He's totally ignorant of what's going on. He's a secular person if there ever was one, okay? He didn't have a lot of respect for the Jews, but he was willing to do just about anything to keep them from rioting and that kind of thing. And now the population of Jerusalem has swelled to maybe as many as 2 million people. It's Passover time. This is a tough time. Somebody says the wrong thing. They can get a fire going that they can't put out with that many people there. Jews from all over the world had gathered to that place. It's Passover time. So Pilate is especially nervous. So he's going to appease and compromise, coddle. He's going to prevent uprisings at any cost. And so he did his duty. He met with these guys early morning hours. We don't know a lot about Pilate, but he didn't get up early, I'm pretty sure. Not this early. We're talking early. We're talking going trout fishing early. Wayne, this early, okay? It's probably still dark. So, but anyway, they come to his residence. They won't go in, because if they go in, they're going to be ceremonially unclean, which means they can't eat the Passover meal. Can you believe that? They are going to murder the Son of God, but they won't go into a building that will make them ceremonially unclean. I hope your religion is not so constructed. I hope that you hold in much more high esteem the very Son of God than you do your religious habits and practices. So they come to him, and he said, what accusation do you bring against this man? What he's asking is, What Roman law has this guy broken? All right? Well, the Jews didn't answer him. They didn't answer him. He asked a question. What did the man do? Why is he here? What did he do? And they don't answer with a specific accusation, like he stole this or that kind of thing. They didn't have one. So they use that general, well, if he wasn't doing evil, we wouldn't have brought him to you. You've been there, haven't you? I hear the chuckles. Happens all the time. Those general statements and general responses that we have. Maybe you've heard some of these. They said if he wasn't doing evil, we wouldn't have brought him to you. How about everybody's doing it? Which somehow sanctions it, whatever it is. I've never figured that one out. If everybody was jumping off the cliff, would you join in? But, oh, folks, we're addicted, aren't we? If everybody else is doing it, we're really drawn to it. And maybe even participate. Well, everybody's doing it. That's one that we hear today. The Bible contradicts itself. That's another general statement that you'll hear. The next time somebody says that to you, say, specifically where? They don't know the Bible. Okay, they're just doing like the Jews here, passing on, you know, some general statement that's going to avoid the answer. Or today when I'm hearing more and more, if God is love, then he would never send anybody to hell. Oh yeah, really? Maybe you've heard this one. Not only does the Bible contradict itself, but the Bible's full of errors. Or the Bible has no application for today. And on it goes. All general statements that people use to somehow absolve their conscience and somehow make a point that can't be made. And that's what the Jews were doing. Actually, Pilate had disdain for the Jews. So he turns it back on them and said, all right, if you're not going to tell me what he did, you take him and you judge him by your own law. And then they lie to the man. They lie to the man. The Jews said, we can't. It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death. Wrong! These are the keepers of the law. They know. All of those reasons we just went through were reasons the Jews could stone a person, i.e. put him to death. And when Pilate put that before them, they lied to the man. It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death. All of this, folks, was to fulfill that wonderful plan of God the Father, that the Romans would raise Jesus up, suspended between heaven and earth, being that link between God's grace and man's sin, and all men and women would be drawn to him. You see it? You see it? God's plan is always in play. There's one word that God doesn't have in his vocabulary. Oh, a couple, I guess. One thing he has is to remember your sin. If you're in Christ Jesus and you say to him, Father, what sins have I committed? He doesn't know. He doesn't know. Think about that. Another word that's not in his vocabulary is oops. All right? Something happens on the world scene. Something happens in your life. And God says, oop, didn't see that one coming. He saw it coming. In fact, he planned or permitted whatever it is to be in your life at that time. You think he just said, oh, I can't handle that individual stuff. I just deal in big world stuff. No. As intricately as he weaved this plan of redemption, even raising up the peoples at a specific time so that his son would die in a specific way. He is intricately knowledgeable of and participatory in the events of your life. Everything is by his plan or by his permission. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I can sleep at night when I know that. I can sleep at night. Now, I might hesitate here just a moment. That would be only for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? That would be for only those who are his. Heirs of Christ and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But the good news is, if you are yet to believe, you're not here by accident today. The gospel is going forth to you, and you can believe. And you can have that assurance that everything your Heavenly Father is planning for your life, He will bring about. And He will permit the events into your life that will bring it about. Well, let's close this morning then with this, if you're keeping an outline, the third point. Which of these three plans is your plan? Which of these plans is your plan? Not the literal killing of Jesus. Jesus was killed. He died on the cross. We know that, okay? But which plan for your life is like one of the plans that we've just looked at? Maybe your plan this morning is like the Jews. My life is about advancing me. It's all about me. I will control the situation. I will be a person of significance. My life is all about me advancing me. That's what they were doing. Maybe your plan is like Satan's plan. He wanted to kill Jesus so he would be like the Most High. In our language today, I will be the God of my life. I am not going to call or name or believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because I'm the Lord of my life. Maybe that's your plan to make it through. I don't know. I would imagine some of you today are sitting there saying, I don't have a plan. Which would be very accurate. But not having a plan is a plan. So some would say, I don't have a plan. Maybe others are saying, I'm going to trust that God would not send anyone to hell. That's my plan. I'm banking on the fact that God is a God of love and He's not going to send anybody to hell. That's my plan. Besides, as we looked at a week or so ago, half the people in this country don't even believe in hell. So how can he send anybody somewhere that doesn't exist? So my plan is that. Everybody's going to heaven, right? Huh? Maybe your plan is like one I've heard, and you probably have heard this one if you're out there very much. I'm going to live it up. I've actually heard this one. And seconds before I die, I'm going to get saved. And I got the best of both worlds. Oh, friends. That's a gamble I don't want to take. Because you may not see that 18-wheeler until it's too late. Or whatever else. I want to have a good time. Sow my wild oats is for you young people. I want to have a good time and sow my wild oats when I'm young, and in my old age, then I'll get serious about religion. You missed it. It's not about religion. It's not about religion. You know, starting to go to, how old am I, Chuck? 66? I'm going to call that old today, okay? All right? At 66 years of age, I decide I'm going to start going to church so I got my bases covered because I don't have many years left. Okay? Folks, religion is not going to get it. Just because you're old doesn't mean religion will work for your salvation. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There's no religion that will get you into His heaven. Maybe this is describing you today. I'm told it describes a lot of people in their 20s and 30s. I don't need God's plan. I have my own plan. And since I'm the center of the universe, my plan trumps God's plan. Mom and Dad worked so hard on me to develop my self-esteem. And it worked. I get what I want when I want it. I call the shots. Do I need to say anything about that? No. That's not going to work. In fact, that's called pride. By any other name, it's called pride. And there are six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination to Him. And on that list is a proud heart. And I've heard this one as well. Hell? Question mark. Hell? Hey, man, my posse and I are going to hell and we're going to party, party, party. I've heard that said. And finally, maybe something like this. I'm religious just in case. We go on and on. You can share yours that you've heard. These are all plans that people have. Folks, I want to say to you, not one of these plans is going to work. There's not one plan that we've looked at that's going to work. So may I suggest that you reject these plans or your customized plan as unworkable, not going to result in what you have planned for your life to be in God in His heaven? These will not get you there, but may I suggest that you adopt His plan? It's the only one that's going to work. And I couldn't help at this point, Dwayne, but to come to this place that God's plan looks so much like the author of this book, the book of John, the Apostle John. There's John the Baptist, there's the Apostle John, this is the Apostle John. And this man, as you just step back and admire his life, it is a life that has been entwined in the plan of God for him and copied and replicated to all those who would want to be and go where he's going and seeing what he sees. John was called, and he followed Jesus. He forsook everything to follow the Master and did so for 3 years. He denied himself. It was John, remember, who went into the court of the high priest when Jesus was arrested in the garden and taken to the court of the high priest. John went in the court with him. He's the only one there. A dangerous place to be, to say the least. He's counted the cost. It's only John who follows Jesus to the cross. We don't find Peter at the cross. We don't find any of the others at the cross. We find John and three women. That's it. But John was there. There at the foot of the cross, as the crowds walked by and spit on Jesus and cursed him and derided him, John was there, faithful to the end in his mind. And he stayed committed to Jesus throughout his life, even after the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension to heaven. John stays the course. He still is following Jesus. And you can read about what he dealt with in 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And he dealt with that time after Jesus ascended with all of the isms that came about. Gnosticism, Docetism, and there were all these isms, people taking the gospel of Jesus Christ and twisting it, bending it, and trying to compromise it and all this kind of thing. John was there, but he stayed faithful. He's so committed. He keeps following. And we hear John say this in another book that he penned, the book of Revelation. I, John, your brother and partner in tribulation. And he's on the island of Patmos now. An old man. The other apostles are going to die a martyr's death. John is an old man exiled to this island called Patmos. And he said, I, your brother, partner in tribulation, and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. In other words, he said, the reason I'm here is because of what I was preaching and teaching about Jesus. Even though he's gone, I'm still preaching and teaching about Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and behind me, he said, a loud voice like a trumpet. I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and turning, I saw one like the Son of Man. This old saint, true to the faith all the days of his life, in the very twilight of his existence on this earth, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he turned, and guess who he saw? Jesus. And you can read in the first chapter of Revelation just what Jesus looks like in his resurrected body. But John saw that. That is the plan that God has for you and me. That when he calls, we would answer. Yes. And we would follow. And follow him all the days of our life, regardless of what goes on. And come to that twilight of our lives. And we see Jesus. Exalted in his resurrected body. That's what it's supposed to look like. That's the plan that God has for you if you have believed. Folks, do we see it? He has a plan for everything. And I want to tell you something. 66, Chuck, is that what you said? Okay? I'm not backing out. Okay? There's a couple of folks here a little older than I am. Okay? If I were to embarrass them, which I won't, they'd say I'm not backing out either. What about you younger folks? Deacon, how old are you? 16. Got some younger than that here. The temptation is to back out, young people. To have a good time. You know, hey, hang out with the guys and gals. Yeah, you know, party, party, party. Folks, just because you're 16 or 6 or whatever the age is, it's no excuse not to walk the way John walked. Okay? I know the tug of society, the culture. I know the temptations that are there. And they're worse today than they were when this old guy was that age. But folks, if you're going to walk as John the Apostle walked, you walk in that faith regardless of what's going on around you. The only plan that will result in you and I seeing Jesus is to behold the Lamb of God, sacrificed for our sins, and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And thus we fulfill God's plan of redemption that He has crafted for us. You're going to follow a plan. somebody's plan is going to be in play in your life. I just say to you today, if you want that plan to end the desire that you have, and I can't believe there's anybody here that would join that group that said, my posse and I, we're going to hell and party. I can't believe there's anybody here like that today. They're out there, but they're not here today, okay? The fact that you're here says in some way you're planning on His plan to live with Him in His heaven and not to be cast into the lake of fire. That is His plan for you, to come unto Him, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And He said, I will give you rest. And to walk in that grace that He provides every day, knowing that He is walking ahead of you, knowing that He is providing and is planning and permitting all that goes on in your life. That's His plan. Let's pray. Lord, I guess the world does look pretty dark out there. At least that's what the people who are supposed to know are saying. Newscasters and experts, one kind of another. Just don't see how it can go on like this, you hear. They're predicting all kind of peril and wickedness and on and on like that. Father, many of us in this room understand that. Your word says so. In the last days, dangerous times will come. You told us. But Lord, You have provided for those who are Yours. You have provided. And Lord, You have also promised to come. We'd have to change Your word if this is not true. We would never do that. You know that. Because there's coming a sound, a trumpet sound. The dead in Christ arise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet You in the air. When? When You say so. And Father, there is no reason that You have. No reason that You've communicated to pour out Your wrath on those who are forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Why would You pour out Your wrath on Your children who have obeyed You and endeavor to walk in the Lordship of Jesus Christ? But Father, for those who are yet to believe, that day of You pouring out Your wrath is in their future as of today, unless they would believe. And Father, that transition from being an object of Your wrath to a recipient of the fulfillment of Your grace is one decision away. Just one decision away. But, oh Lord, what a decision. Father, I pray that those who are in Christ Jesus this morning, those of us who have believed Your plan of redemption, Father, I pray that we would go away from here today thanking You for so great a salvation. And for those who are yet to believe, Lord, that they would understand there's still time. As the old hymn said, there's room at the cross. There's room at the cross. I pray they would hear that and see that today. not a decision to be put off. If I understand what your word teaches, imminent comes to mind. The imminent return of Jesus Christ for his church. To those who have ears, Jesus said, let them hear.